Okay, so you probably saw in the bulletin if you looked in. My message title, Your Part in the Lion's Story. All right, well, you know, church family, over the years, one of the most fulfilling parts of the ministry for me has been watching the faith of God, the faith of Christ, the torch of faith. Maybe that's the best way I could say it. Watching the torch of faith get passed hand to hand from one generation to the next. I mean, I've prayed over newborn babies at the front of this church and dedicated them to Jesus. And then, honestly, in what feels like a single blink, I've watched those same babies grow up and carry their own newborns down these hallways. I have baptized both parents and later their children. And I've sat beside dear saints as they slipped into the arms of the Lord, having spent their last strength handing their faith to someone younger. And if all of those years have burned one lesson into me, dear ones, it's this. The faith of Jesus Christ is always just one generation from being forgotten, and always just one faithful person from being handed safely on. And that's heavy on my heart this morning, because today we close a series about a blessing that has been handed down faithfully for 4,000 years. Now, 5 weeks ago, has it been 5 weeks? I guess it has. 5 weeks ago, I told you they were preparing to bury a time capsule back east in Philadelphia. There it is. They were going to bury it on the very ground where this nation was born. Well, church, on the 4th of July, they did it. They lowered this sealed one-ton vessel packed with pieces of who we are. They lowered it 10 feet into the ground beside Independence Hall. See Independence Hall there in the background? This time capsule not to be opened again for 250 years until 2276. Now think about that. Somebody actually sat down and asked, what do we want to hand to the ones who come after us? To people not even born yet. What is worth passing on? And you know, I've had that question in mind all series long. Because a 250th birthday isn't really about the past. Oh, of course, we look back, and we have. But a milestone like this is finally a question about the future. Not just where have we been, but what will we hand on? And who will carry it after we're gone? So for 4 weeks, we've held the American story up to the light of an ancient blessing. And we've watched it point every time past Judah, who was kneeling there and received the blessing, past Judah, past America, to Jesus, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. We've seen in our study a people founded on praise, a cub raised into a lion, a scepter that will not depart, a feast on the mountain for all the nations. It's been quite a climb, church, and I thank you for going on it with me. But church, this morning, I want to turn the whole thing around and point it straight at you, just like my picture shows here. Because here's the truth I've been saving for the very end. This story isn't finished, and you are in it. Yeah. I'm saying the lion's story is still being written, and you have a part to play. So let's open one last passage of Scripture together. The place in the Word where the Lion of Judah finally steps out in his full glory in Revelation chapter 5. And this is the capstone, everyone, week 5. the last stone we're going to set on top of the whole series. And I'll say our guardrail just one final time, because it's kept us honest every single week. Our nation is the mirror, but God is the message. We've never made America the focus of this story, as much as we love her. She was the mirror that we held up. The Lion of Judah was and is the message. And now the message has one last word, and it is a word for you. So for 4 weeks, I mostly asked you to look at the blessing, to look at the nation, to look at Christ. This morning, I'm going to ask you to step in. Someone say with me, step in. Okay. Because a story like this one was never meant to be watched from the stands. Here is the thesis of this whole Capstone Saints, and it's beautifully simple. The Lion has already won the story, and by his grace, he has written you into it, given you a part to carry, and asked you to pass it on. Okay, so then there are three assignments I want to place in your hands this morning as we close this teaching series. First, take your place in the story. Carry the blessing in your generation, and pass the torch to those who come after. All right, so let's now read our text, friends, wherein we see that the Apostle John is weeping in his vision because no one in heaven or earth is found worthy to open the scroll of God's purposes. And then one of the elders says this to him, "Stop weeping. Look, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the heir to David's throne, has won the victory." And then John looks, and the lion is suddenly a lamb, standing as though it had been slain. And all of heaven falls down and sings a brand new song to him. And here's what they sang. "Your blood has ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have caused them to become a kingdom of priests for our God, and they will reign on the earth." Wow. There it is, church. That's the whole series in two verses. The Lion won. And the people Christ Jesus ransomed with his blood from every nation on earth, including this one, he has made into something, made them into a kingdom of priests. Now, that's not just the crowd at the feast, dear ones, as we talked about last week. No, that's a crowd I'm talking about now, this crowd of priests. That's a crowd with a job, a ministry task. So let's each take our part. Yes, first of all, I urge you, take your place in the story. Folks, please notice who is standing around the throne in heaven that John had this vision of when he saw this. It's people. People, as our picture shows, from every tribe and nation and people group and tongue. Now stop and let the wonder of that reach you. You and I are not ancient Judah. We are not sons of Abraham by blood. By birth, most of us in this room have no claim on this ancient blessing at all. We are outsiders. We are latecomers from the wrong family and the wrong nation entirely. And yet, here we are. Written into the story. How? Not by blood, not by birth, not by being born in the right country, but by the blood of the Lamb who ransomed us and brought us in. That's what John saw. You see, the New Testament has a stunning word for this, as our picture shows. We were grafted in. Someone say with me, grafted in. Yeah. We were like wild branches cut from a wild tree and grafted by grace into the one true vine of God's people. I want you to think about the sheer mercy of that, everyone. A gardener doesn't usually graft a wild, fruitless branch into his best vine, right? No, usually chops it up and burns it. But our God went and found branches the world had thrown away and grafted them into the living root of his own son so that his life could flow up into ours. That means the story of Judah, the story of the lion, became your story the day you belonged to Jesus. Can you say praise God for that with me? I mean, I just think that's amazing. Okay. But church, I have to pause here for a moment. I want to pause for the person who still feels like an outsider this morning. Look at that picture. That guy looks like he feels like an outsider. Where it's like everyone else belongs and you're just visiting. But you know, maybe you've felt that way your whole life, in your family, in a crowd, even in a church. Please hear this. The lion did not ransom a nation of people who had it all together. No. Again, I say, he ransomed outsiders, latecomers, wrong family, wrong nation people, people exactly like you. Dear friend, there is a place with your name on it in this story. And that place was bought with precious divine blood. And it is waiting. You are not a spectator, dear one. You were meant to be in it. Someone say with me, in it. Okay. And let me press this just a little bit further because I know how the enemy works. He'll let you come to church for 20 years and still whisper that you don't really belong here, that you are tolerated, not treasured. You're a guest, not a son or a daughter in the house. But I want you to hear the gospel, loved one. Your place at this table was never bought by your performance. And it cannot be lost by your failure. I hope you hear that. And why? Because your place was bought by blood, the holy blood of God. I want you to think about this with me for just a moment. A child doesn't earn a seat at the family table, right? That's right. No, a child simply takes it because of whose they are. Isn't that right? Right. So I want you to apply the same logic to your life, the divine logic. Stop hovering at the hedge of God's family, dear one. Stop tiptoeing through your own life in Christ as if someone might tap you on the shoulder at some point and ask you to leave. Get planted here. Let yourself be truly known and loved and counted on. Put your roots down deep into this soil. The story has a spot with your name on it. I just say, like this picture, for heaven's sake, sit down in it. Okay? God's got you here for a purpose, loved one. Please declare with me if you're willing. I am not a spectator in the lion's story. By his grace, I'm in it. Okay. Well, the Lord hears you this morning. But my brothers and sisters, being written into the story is only the beginning of your part. Because that verse said, the lion made us a kingdom of priests. And a priest is not a spectator either. A priest has work to do. Which brings me now to the next thing I want to leave in your hands. I secondly urge you, dear one, to carry the blessing in your generation. And now again, hear our text where it says, you've caused them to become a kingdom of priests. Now, hold that word up next to something the Apostle Peter wrote. Because Peter takes this very idea and he hands it a job, okay? He hands it a ministry task. And I want you to listen for the echo of where this whole series began. 1 Peter 2:9, he said, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. This version says it this way, God has called us so that you can show others the goodness of God. Now, I hope you hear the bookend, church, from a series standpoint here. We began this whole teaching series 5 weeks ago talking about a people founded on praise. Do you remember that? And now, interestingly, here at the end, that praise is handed a direction. You are a royal priesthood so that you can show others the goodness of God. Do you see that with me, everyone, here? Look, the praise starts in here, in the heart, in this room. That praise was always meant to spill out there. Someone point your finger and say, out there. Out there, over there. Well, it could be over there too. But outside these walls, into a world that is watching. Look at our picture, a kingdom of priests. But that's what a priest does. A priest stands between God and people and carries the goodness of the one to the other. And please don't rush past that, dear friends, because it is your job. It is your ministry description. Yeah, you see, in the Old Covenant, a priest did two things. He carried the people to God, and he carried God to the people. He stood in the gap. Well, that is now you. That is now you. Look at our picture up there. Carrying people to God and carrying God to people in the various ways that's happening. Yeah, that's you now. When you lift a hurting friend to God in prayer, when you carry someone's name before the throne at 2 o'clock in the morning, you're being a priest. And when you carry the goodness and mercy and truth of God back down to that friend in a word of comfort, maybe a hand on the shoulder, a gentle telling of the truth, you are being a priest. You don't need a clerical collar or a title or a seminary degree. Loved one, if you belong to the lion, you are already ordained. Are you hearing me? Amen. Yeah. Remember Judah's oldest calling when we were reviewing the scriptures? All the way back in week one. Like a priest, he was blessed to bless. Remember that? He was never blessed to hoard. He was never blessed to boast. No, he was blessed to bless. Well, church, that is now your commission right here, right now, in this generation, at this moment in history that God chose for you to be alive. I mean, think about it with me. You didn't land in the year 2026 by accident. We believe in a sovereign God. No, you see, God set you down in this exact hour, in this valley, in these families and workplaces and neighborhoods, like our picture shows, so that you would carry his goodness to them. Yes. Look at the picture and let it sink in. You see Reno back in there? Yeah? And here's what I want you to feel deeply. Again, your part doesn't require a platform or a title. If you're waiting for that, it's unnecessary. It doesn't require it. God's kingdom of priests is not the famous. It's not the powerful. It's the faithful. Someone say with me, it's the faithful. Okay. Yeah. Look, it's the mother teaching a toddler to fold his hands and pray. It's the man at the job site who works with such integrity that people ask him why. It's the widow who prays down heaven over this church at 6 every morning. And if that's you, I want to say thank you so much, because we need it. Yeah, it's the teenager who refuses to laugh at the cruel joke. That, dear ones, is a kingdom of priests carrying the blessing, the 10,000 ordinary faithfulnesses. Are you hearing me? Just ordinary faithfulnesses offered up to God, spilling out his goodness into a dark world. So, look, let me make it concrete, and this little picture shows. Let me make it concrete, because a blessing you never actually hand to anybody, it's just a blessing you're sitting on, like this guy in this chair. Yeah. You can have all these blessings, but if you never hand them off, it's just blessings that you're sitting on. Now, this week, church, I want you to look at the 3 or 4 little kingdoms God has already placed you in. I'm talking about your home as a little kingdom. Your workplace is a little kingdom. Your neighborhood is a little kingdom. Your schoolyard is a little kingdom. This church is a little kingdom. And I want you to consider this and ask one question, and let's ask it together. Let's read it together. Where is my priesthood needed here? Where is my priesthood needed here? Think about it. You drive to work in the morning. Where is my priesthood needed here? You come to church on a Sunday. Where is my priesthood needed here? You show up at school. Where is my priesthood needed here? Right? And we could just go on down the list. Get up in the morning, first thing, and you wake up. God, look around the house, see the family. Where is my priesthood needed here today? Wow. Well, yeah, because maybe it is that coworker you've quietly prayed over for a year. And this is the week you finally ask if you can pray for them out loud. That happened to me in my life. Maybe it's the neighbor 2 doors down whose name you still don't know. Maybe it's simply carrying the goodness of God in your face and your words into a workplace that is starved for one person who isn't cynical, isn't gossiping, and isn't afraid. Are you hearing me? Darren, what I'm saying is you don't have to cross an ocean to carry the blessing. You just have to carry it across the street or down the hall. Yeah, listen, your mission field is wherever your feet already are. And I would simply add, one part of carrying the blessing, church, includes guarding it, keeping faithful watch, as we saw earlier in this series, watching over the church and the nation God has placed in our care, so that neither is left to rot from within or be shaken from without. Because you see, a kingdom of priests stands watch over what it loves. Please declare this with me. I am blessed to carry the blessing right here in my own generation. That feels good. Praise God. But there's just one more thing, church. And if we forget it, everything we built these 5 weeks dies with us. Because a blessing you only carry is a blessing that stops the moment your hands go still. Now, a blessing has to be handed on, which is why I finally urge you, dear one, to pass the torch to those who come after. Now, I want you to come back with me to that time capsule in Philadelphia, to that question, what will we hand to those who come after us? Church family, that is not just a national question. It's also one of the most urgent questions in the life of faith because, yes, friends, the gospel, the good news of our Lord Jesus, whom we love so dearly, it's always only one generation from being forgotten. It is never inherited automatically. It has to be passed on purpose, by people who refuse to let the flaming torch die in their hands. Now listen to how seriously the scriptures take this. Psalm 78 says, "We will not hide these truths from our children. No, we will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, so the next generation might know them and set its hope anew on God." I love that last line. So the next generation might set its hope anew on God. Well, that is the whole point of passing it on, loved ones. Not merely that our grandchildren would remember our traditions. No, but that they would come to hope in the living God for themselves. And it happens person to person, hand to hand. Paul reminded young Timothy of exactly that in 2 Timothy 1:5. He said, "I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice. And I know that same faith continues strong in you." Do you hear it, everyone? I can personally relate to this. Here, three generations. Look at them right there. Three generations, church. Grandmother to mother to son. The torch passed down a family line hand to hand until it lit that young man, Timothy, who would help carry the gospel to the whole world. So let me make this heart-searchingly practical. Who is your Timothy or Timothys? In other words, I'm asking, like this picture shows, whose faith is God asking you to help light? Now, it may be your very own children or your grandchildren. And if so, please do not outsource their souls to this church 1 hour a week. No, you carry the torch into that home. But it may also be a young couple who needs an older marriage to learn from. Maybe it's a new believer who needs someone a few steps ahead to show them the way. It could be a child or a young person in this church with no godly man or woman as a role model in their life. And God is nudging you. You see, the blessing was never meant to end with you, my brother or sister. You are not the finish line. You're a link. Someone say with me, a link. And friends, let me say the hard thing at this point, because I love you too much not to. We are right now watching a generation drift from the faith of their parents. And often it's not because anyone argued them out of it, but because it was never really passed to them. It was just assumed. It was outsourced. It was left to a Sunday school teacher for 90 minutes on a Sunday morning. And folks, a faith that everybody just assumes will stick around won't. It'll be gone in one generation. So don't assume, dear ones. Pass it on and do it on purpose. And you know what? Here's the good news. It's actually not complicated. It's mostly just presence and honesty. Tell the young person in your life the real story of what God has done for you. I'm not talking about the sanitized version. The true one, with the valleys in it. Open your life. Let them watch a journey of faith up close with all of its ordinary daily struggles and joys. Pray with them out loud so they learn that God is someone you can actually talk to. And when they doubt, and they will, don't panic and don't lecture. Just stay close and keep loving them toward Jesus. That's how the torch has always been passed. Hand to hand, heart to heart, one faithful person in every generation refusing to let the flame go out. But having said that, Let me stop and speak to someone whose heart is aching in this room right now. Or maybe you're watching me online. Your heart is aching. It's aching because some of you did all of this. You prayed with them. You opened your life. You told them the true story, valleys and all. And the hand you held the torch out to would not take it. Your son doesn't believe. Your daughter walked away. The grandchildren are growing up without a Bible in the house. And every time a pastor like me talks about passing on the faith, something in you just sinks. Because you hear it as a verdict on your failure. Well, please know, I personally understand that feeling too. But dear one, it's not a verdict of failure on your part. Please hear this and let it settle deep. You are responsible for the handing off. You were never responsible for the taking. No one can believe on another person's behalf. Faith is not an heirloom that passes down with the family silverware. No, friends. Every soul that was ever saved had to say yes to God personally. So your child's not yet is not the measure of your faithfulness. And I want you to consider this too. God himself is the perfect father, the perfect parent. His home was paradise, and his children still walked away. I reared children and brought them up, he said through the prophet Isaiah, but they have rebelled against me. Wow. If perfect love didn't guarantee a child's yes, dear one, how can you call yourself a failure? You are not God's disappointment. He knows exactly what it is to love a child who turned away from the faith and from him. So what do you do then when no hand will take the torch? Well, loved one, I encourage you to keep the relationship open. Don't let the faith absence become the thing that ends the phone calls. No, rather love them like the father in Jesus' parable, who never chased his son down the road. He didn't. But he never stopped watching the road either, right? He always was watching to see if he'd come home. Keep on praying. No parent ever prayed a wasted prayer. Do you believe that? I do. And keep living the faith quietly. The sermon they can't argue with is the one they watch. And then ultimately, and this is the thing I've had to learn to do, put them in hands stronger than yours. Only the Holy Spirit gives the new birth, and God loves that child even more than you do, and I do. Loved ones, the story isn't finished. And please also know that some torches are picked up long after the one who carried them has gone home to be with Jesus. There's many a story of that. Please proclaim with me, I am responsible for passing the torch. I trust the taking to God. I just say, thank you, Lord. All right, so, dear friend, there then is your part in the lion's story, gathered up in three words. You see them there on the screen with some activity surrounding them. The words are belong. Someone say with me, belong. Yeah, take your place in the story, ransomed and grafted in by the blood of the Lamb. The next word is bless. Let's say it, bless. Carry the goodness of God into your own generation, one ordinary faithfulness at a time. And finally, the word pass. Pass it on. Hand the torch to those who come after, so the next generation can set its hope anew on God. Belong, bless, pass it on. That is the whole Christian life, and it is your part in a story the lion has already won. You know, a young missionary named Jim Elliot, who would give his life carrying the gospel to people who had never heard it, once wrote a line in his journal that has never let me go. Here's what he said. He said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Yeah. My good brother or sister, that is the math of the whole Christian life. Everything this world tells you to clutch, your comfort, your time, your money, your reputation, your very life, you cannot keep anyway. It's all going into the ground one day, every single bit of it. But a part in the lion's story, a soul handed on to the next generation, a life poured out for the king, that you can never lose. That goes on into eternity long after the granite monuments have crumbled. 250 years from now in America, dear ones, when that time capsule in Philadelphia is finally lifted out of the ground and a generation not yet born stands where we stand today, the only thing I submit to you from our hands that will still matter to them is what we did with Christ. Not our monuments, not our net worth, not even this nation's great next chapter. Just this. Whether we personally knew Jesus, Amen. The Lion of Judah, and whether we were faithful to pass him on. So take your place, carry the blessing, and pass on that torch. Amen. The story is not finished, good Christian. And your part is waiting. All right, so let me close our whole series not with a lecture, but with a commissioning. We wrapped up our chapter with Brother Angelo with a commissioning. And I want to wrap up this teaching series similarly with a commissioning, ascending. If you already belong to the Lion, then hear this as you're sending. Go from here a kingdom of priests. Carry his goodness into your corner of this valley and find the one or ones whose torch God is asking you to light. All right, I'm going to ask you to make that commitment with me now together at the foot of the cross as we join together in prayer. So will you, if you're willing, pray along with me. Let's pray together. King Jesus, Lion of Judah, you won the story, and by your blood, you wrote me into it. I take my place. I will carry your goodness into my generation, and I will hand what I've been given to those who come after me. Make my one ordinary life a faithful link in your unbreakable story until the day I feast with you on the mountain of God. In your name, amen. Amen. Now, perhaps there's someone here, or maybe someone who's watching online. You've been following this whole series from the outside. And what I mean is, for the last 5 Sundays now, you've heard about this story, and somewhere in you, you have an ache. There's an ache in here, because you know your own name is not yet written in it. You just somehow know, I hear this, but I don't know that my name, I don't have that confidence. Dear friend, hear this. The author of the story is still holding the pen in his hand. The very Lion who ransomed outsiders and latecomers and wrong family people is ready this morning to write you in. And you can no more earn that than a wild branch earns its grafting. You only need to say yes. So here's what I would plead with you. Don't walk out today the way you walked in. When the service ends, our prayer team will be right down front here, and there's nothing they would rather do than pray with you and help you take the first step to Christ. If you're not yet sure, then at least don't leave empty-handed. I want to give you a book. See this one? Why Jesus' Next Steps. This will be out on the literature table in the lobby. I want you to take this and read it before you fall asleep tonight. In the wake of this sermon, take that, read it before you go to sleep. Let the Lord speak to you today. I just want to encourage you. Your place in the story is already bought, so come and take your seat. Your eternal destiny hangs in the balance. All right, that said, Let's stand together to receive our closing blessing. It'll be the last one in this series. And then we're going to be dismissed to our great barbecue. Looks like they got everything ready out there for us. Stacy, do you still have an announcement in a minute? Okay, well, why don't you make your announcement, then I'll give the blessing, and then we'll go from there. Right here. Thank you.
Hi. They do have everything ready, but we're going to ask that you guys hang out in the lobby and the hallway for about 5 to 10 minutes, because some ladies brought some salads and stuff they have to prep and toss, and then we're just going to carry all the food out there while you guys are hanging out here, so give us a few minutes after the service, okay? Don't everybody rush out there. Amy and I'll reel you in when we're ready, okay? Mm-hmm. Does that sound good? Okay, thanks.
But we also need this area in here for prayer. So you do need to be in the lobby or in the hallway, okay? Because we want to have prayer ministry if anyone needs it here. Make this altar available. Well, God bless you, everyone. Now I leave you with this blessing from the Lord as we head into our time. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to bring you at last into his glorious presence without fault and with overwhelming joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all time and now and forever. So go from here, church, and do not be afraid. When your strength is small, his Spirit will carry you. When you have no words left to pray, his Spirit will pray for you. And he who began this good work in you will be faithful to finish it. Amen. Amen. Hey, please greet one another warmly. Say hi to someone you didn't earlier, and let's head our way out into the lobby in the hall, and then they'll call us soon for lunch. Come for prayer if you need prayer this morning. Dear ones, God bless you.